may he be loved, and may he be prayed to. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Amen. Throughout this world, there are many things from which you and I could stand back and just say, wow. For example, you could look at the human body. You could look at your thigh bone, your femur, which is the strongest and largest bone in the human body. But yet, pound for pound, your femur, your thigh bone, can withstand four times as much pressure as the same amount of concrete. Just because of the particular structure and density of the bone. Four times the amount of pressure as concrete. You and I could look not merely at the human body and go, wow, this evening at God's design and God's work and handiwork, but you and I could also look at nature itself whenever it comes to a hurricane. I'm told that whenever it comes to kinetic energy, one single hurricane can produce the same kinetic energy as half of this entire planet's capability of producing electricity. Just one hurricane can produce about half of this entire planet's capability. Whenever it comes to the amount of force that one hurricane can produce, it can equal 10,000 atomic bombs. The power, the force, the energy. You and I can just stand back and say, wow. You and I could look at the universe this evening. You and I could look at the planet Saturn, nine times greater than this Earth. And yet, because of its makeup, that planet, if you were to find a lake big enough, all the best to you, but if you could find a lake big enough, the planet Saturn would actually float. Because its makeup, being made almost entirely of gas and ice. Many things in this Earth, that if you and I were to study them and look at them, we'd just stand back and go, wow. That is amazing. But yet, surely nothing is more amazing than what we sang in opening hymn, and that is the love of Christ. Because as you and I have been looking at Luke's gospel, we have seen not merely the preaching of Christ and the healing of Christ, all of which would make us stand back and just say, wow, God's love to me. But yet this evening we come to another aspect of Christ's ministry. In addition to his preaching, in addition to his healing, and that is his calling. Because in Luke chapter 5, verse 27 through to verse 32, you and I have Christ's calling of a man called Levi to leave all and follow him. Christ's calling this evening. And while, of course, there will be three very clear applications, there is the application to the ungodly this evening. And that's the one I want to particularly emphasize. Levi was an ungodly man and Christ called him. And I want you to see Christ calling upon you this evening if you are still in your sin. But there is another application, and that is to the believer this evening. Because before you were saved, Levi is a picture of you. This is what you were. And so if you're a believer, you think of what love Christ has shown to you as we go through the points and truths revealed. But there's another application, a third application this evening. And again, it is to the believer. And you think perhaps of loved ones that you have, maybe it be a son or a daughter outside of Christ. No desire for Christ, no interest in Christ. Maybe it is a mother or father, maybe it is a friend, maybe it is a work colleague. And yet you think of the love that Christ has shown to this particular sinner. And you be encouraged tonight in this wonderful truth that Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ this evening has come not merely to call people outwardly with the external call of the gospel, but to call people effectually, internally, by his Spirit, to repentance. Christ has come into this world to seek and to save sinners. The three applications that could very clearly be emphasized this evening. And while we make mention to them, yet there is one particular emphasis I want to leave before you tonight. And so let us look at this amazing, awe-inspiring calling of Christ to a man called Levi. And the first thing I want us to see is this reality that Christ's calling of Levi is wonderful. Christ's calling of Levi is filled with wonder. And there's a number of reasons why I say that. First of all, because Christ takes interest in Levi when Levi takes no interest in Christ. You look at me, please, at verse 27 of Luke 5. And after these things, he that is Christ went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. I'd put it to you tonight that Levi, before his conversion, had no interest in Christ. I would say it would be highly unlikely that Levi has not heard of Christ at this particular stage. In Luke chapter 4, verse 14, we've already learned that the fame of Christ is spread throughout Galilee as he teaches in the synagogues. Part of the reason is revealed in verse 32 of chapter 4 is because Christ preaches with power, unlike anybody else on the earth at that time. In verse 37 of Luke chapter 4, we read that after Christ casts out a demon from a particular man in a synagogue, that the fame of Christ spreads into every place of the country around about. In chapter 4, in the verse 4, we read that after Christ heals Peter's mother-in-law with a great fever, we read that all in that area, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto Christ. Christ's fame is spread abroad, that is intensified, then it's intensified again, coming into chapter 5, in the verse 1, after multiple acts of healing, we read that people are now pressing unto Christ, pressing to him physically, simply just to hear the word that he has to teach, so much so that Christ must actually get into a boat so that people can see him and hear him. The fame of Christ is growing exponentially. In verse 17 of chapter 5, Eighty miles away, people traveling from every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, traveling all the way, walking perhaps many of them, just to see Christ, just to hear of Christ. Christ's fame is not just in Galilee, it is spread around. In verse 19 of chapter 5, Christ re-enters into Capernaum and his fame is so great that people press upon him, no longer now at the seashore, but even into the house. It's crammed full. So the one who's sick can't even get into it. The fame of Christ is abundant. It's unparalleled with anybody else. Without doubt, Christ is a well-known man. Christ is one sought-after man. Whenever we come into verse 27 of Luke chapter 5, in the context that we're looking at this evening, and yet what do you and I see? While multitudes of people are pressing upon Christ at the seashore, multitudes of people are pressing upon Christ in a particular house, some are even climbing up into a roof and breaking through a roof just to get the Christ. And yet, what read of Levi? Is he pressing after Christ? Is he pursuing after Christ? Is he running after Christ? This well-known famous person, wonder worker. No. Verse 27 tells he's sitting at the receipt of custom. Mark's record of this event puts it that little bit more vividly. In Mark chapter 2, verse 14, we read, and is he that is Christ, this wondrous miracle worker that no one has ever seen the like of? We read that as he passed by Levi. Levi is sitting at the receipt of custom. So you can imagine Levi here, as I'll mention a little bit later, is likely in one of the main streets of Capernaum, this busy, bustling place, while many have been running on the Christ. Christ is walking down the street, and as he passes by Levi is not even interested. He's not even looking. He's not even getting up out of his seat to go see Christ. He's just sitting there. Levi's sitting at his work. Could he have left his work even for an hour or two? Oh yeah, I would put it he could. Could he have left somebody else in charge? I put it to you that he could, because in a moment or two when he's converted, he's about to get up and leave all and follow Christ. So he could have done so previously, but he doesn't. He just sits there. He's no interest in Christ. Levi men and women this evening have zero interest in Christ, zero interest in learning about Christ, zero interest in hearing from Christ, zero interest in being changed and transformed by Christ. What is the lesson this evening? The lesson this evening is this. While Levi takes no interest in Christ, Christ takes an interest in Levi. Christ is taking an interest in Levi. While Levi is not seeking Christ, Christ is seeking Levi. And I wonder this evening, therefore, if there's someone here tonight and they're a bit like Levi. Maybe it's someone young this evening. Maybe it's somebody who's older tonight. And like Levi, you have heard of Christ's work. You've heard of what Christ has done to people, done to your neighbors, done perhaps to friends, and how he's transformed and how he's changed them and how he's worked in their lives. Those who before would never have walked with Christ are now able to walk with Christ. Those who once hated Christ now love Christ. He's the fairest of 10,000 to their soul. Christ has transformed these people, and you've heard of this. Perhaps like Levi, you know that Christ is famous. And while others are running to Christ, and others are eager to hear of Christ and what he has to say, and are looking for Christ to change and transform them, the reality is tonight you have zero interest in Christ. You have zero interest in learning about him, zero interest in hearing from him. Even perhaps as you're in the meeting tonight, you've come just because you've been brought along, just because it's out of routine, just because it's expected of you. But yet you have zero interest in Christ. You have zero interest in being changed by Christ. Well, I want to inform you this evening. While you may not be seeking Christ, Christ is seeking you. While you may take no interest in Christ, Christ, the wonderful Savior, takes an interest in you. I would put it to you tonight that the calling of Christ to Levi is wonderful. It's filled with wonder. Because Christ takes interest in one who takes no interest in him. But notice also, secondly tonight, Christ takes interest in one who very likely has rejected him. Not merely is he not interested in him, but I put it to you that it's very likely Levi has rejected Christ. There's two things I would believe determine this. The first is this, Levi's knowledge. Whenever Levi is converted, he's also known by the name of Matthew. Matthew, Levi, will go on to write a gospel record. And in that gospel record, Levi will quote the Old Testament scriptures more than any other gospel record. In fact, he will quote 100 times from the Old Testament, almost four times every one of his chapters. That is more, understand this, Levi will quote more from the Old Testament than Mark, Luke, and John added together. Levi clearly has a great knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, and not just one part of it. Levi will quote from all three sections of the Old Testament, from the law, from the prophets, and from the wisdom writings. And again, he will quote from the Old Testament to show how it is a prophecy of the Savior to come. Now, it is possible that Levi gained his knowledge after his conversion, but it is far more likely that Levi was brought up being taught this information, being taught this knowledge. As a child, as a teenager, and then as a young man, in the morning time, in the evening time, as he rose up and as he went down to bed, and as he walked about and went by the way with his parents and with his family, they talked to him of Christ and the Savior to come. But yet, Levi rejects it. This knowledge of the Savior, this promise of a Savior, Levi rejects it. He spurns it. He despises it. He has no time for it. In fact, he turns his back on it. You may say, well, how do I know that? Where are you getting all that from? Well, it's found in verse 27. Because we see there, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican. And you see the term publican, that reveals to us that this man has rejected things. Because if a person ever became a publican, that is, if he ever became a tax collector, he had to resign any membership, any association he had with the local synagogue. He would have to turn his back on his community. He would have to turn his back on the people of God. He would have to turn his back on the worship of God. He would have to turn his back on the things of God to enter into this particular service. of being a tax collector. And you may think, well, that seems a bit harsh, you know. We have people who work for the HMRC today, and we don't cast them out of our membership. Well, it's a little bit different. You see, in the first century, whenever Rome had conquered Israel, Rome would tax Israel, nothing strange there, but the way Rome went about it is different than the way you and I are taxed today. Because Rome did not actually tax the people themselves. Rome would have put it out to hire. Any wealthy individuals were willing to, say for example, Rome wanted a certain amount, the equivalent of, say for example, 100 grand from a certain area, and they would have put it out. Who's going to bring that in for us? What wealthy individual is going to organize this for us? And so people would make their claims and their pleads to the Roman government, and the Roman government make a decision, right, you're going to do it. You're going to be in charge of getting the tax out of this area. And that was it out of Rome's hands. They didn't care as long as they got the money. And these wealthy individuals then would have hired chief publicans, chief tax collectors, like Zacchaeus later on in the Gospel of Luke. And their aim was not simply to collect the 100 grand, but as Zacchaeus will tell us, he would go on to collect 3 to 4 times the amount, 300 to 400 grand. Now the people knew this was corrupt. The tax collectors knew this was corrupt. Everybody knew it was corrupt. Rome knew it was corrupt. But still, this is what happened. These chief publicans, these Zacchaeuses, would then hire lesser publicans, such as what we have for Levi here, going up the ladder of the tax-collecting world. And they'd be running around, getting the taxes off the people, sitting in places that were busy and bustling so that they could meet the people and be seen by the people and they could get the tax off them. And so you see a tax collector as one who's turned his back on his community. He's willing to get involved in that which is corrupt and that which is wrong, in stealing from the people and being corrupt and deceptive and twisted and selfish. Not in the collecting of tax, but in collecting way too much tax in order to fund his own pockets and that of his employer. A publican would have to turn their back on their community, their friends, their family, and their nation. And because of this selfish, greedy, corrupt, twisted, and deceptive line of work, anybody that became a publican would have to turn their back on being a member of the synagogue. They would have to turn their back. They were thrown out of it, as it were, because they are rejecting the people of God. They're rejecting the way of God and the law of God and the worship of God. And I put it to that because of what we will find in Matthew's Gospel regarding the knowledge that Levi has, his knowledge of the Old Testament Scriptures, he was one who grew up knowing of a Savior to come. But now he has no time for it. He's turned his back on the synagogue. He's turned his back on the worship of God and the Word of God and the learning from God. He's turned his back on him. He's too interested in money. And I would put it to you, therefore, that Levi is not simply one who has no interest in the Savior. He's actually rejected the Savior. And it's possible to go even further than that, by not only looking at Levi's knowledge, but by looking at Levi's connections. While it's not revealing to us in Luke's Gospel, yet in Mark's Gospel, you and I are told that Levi was the son of a man called Alphaeus. And the name of Alphaeus is only mentioned 5 times in Scripture, once telling us that he had a son called Levi, but also on 4 other occasions telling us that Alphaeus had a son called James. Now many other commentators, such as John Gill, Matthew Poole, etc., would believe that Levi, this Matthew character, was the brother of James. Alphaeus was the one person. He was the father of James and the father of Levi. And whenever you look later on in Luke chapter 6 and verse 16, we read that James has a brother and a man called Judas, also known as Thaddeus. And if you look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 27 and verse 56, you'll find that James also has another brother, a man called Joseph, who would also be called Barsabbas, who would be nominated as a potential successor to Judas Iscariot after Judas hangs himself. What am I simply seeking to put forth to you this evening? It is very possible that Levi, being the son of Alphaeus, is a brother of James, who's the son of Alphaeus. James, who became a disciple of Christ. And not merely is Levi, therefore, a brother of James, but he's also a brother of Thaddeus. He's also a brother of Joseph or Barsabbas. And if this is the case, well, what's the relevance? Well, Alphaeus, we know from Scripture, was indeed the brother of Joseph, the legal father of Christ. So, if this is all true, from what we find in Scripture, that Levi is the son of the same person as James is the son of, well, that means that Levi is actually a legal cousin of Jesus Christ. A legal cousin of Jesus Christ. And Levi, here in Capernaum, was only 10 miles away from where Christ was brought up, in Nazareth. And so it's very possible this evening, very possible, that Levi knew what it was to have Jesus Christ in his home. He knew what it was that Jesus Christ come and visit at the dinner table. For Jesus Christ to speak personally to him, to challenge him, to confront him. And even for Levi to see the very power and love of Jesus Christ in his own home. And yet in spite of all this, Levi here, as Christ walks by, the Savior of the world, Levi's got no time for Christ. Doesn't get up, doesn't go to see him, doesn't even go to say hello. No time for Christ, no interest in Christ. Why? I put it to you, because he has potentially rejected Christ. The knowledge he was taught from Alphaeus, his father and also his mother, and also potentially the occasions that he has seen Christ himself face to face. He's rejected Christ. And again, perhaps there's someone here tonight, and you've come into the meeting and you take no interest in Christ, but yet the reality is more than that, you have actually rejected Christ. Like Levi, you've grown up with a knowledge of Christ, maybe as a child, as a teenager, as a young person, a young man or woman. In the evening time, in the morning time, a mum, a dad, a wider family member or a friend has spoken to you of Christ. Maybe you know what it is to have Christ spoken in your home. For the power and love of Christ be seen in a family member or a friend. For Christ to speak to you through his precious word. For Christ to challenge you, for Christ to comfort you, for Christ to confront you. And yet, up until this point, every time Christ has confronted you, you've rejected him. You've no time for Christ tonight. You've turned your back on Christ, on the worship of Christ, and the people of Christ, and the word of Christ. The one who is the only Savior of men, you've got no time for him. And you don't want time for him. And again, what's the lesson tonight? Levi was one who took no interest in Christ and who likely has rejected Christ, but Christ still takes an interest in him. Christ still takes an interest in him. And this evening, if Levi is an illustration of you, take comfort tonight, Christ still takes interest in you. Be challenged tonight, Christ still takes interest in you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't despised you. He isn't neglecting you. He takes interest in you this evening. He's speaking to you here through his word. There is also a third thing regarding the wonder of Christ calling Levi. And it's not simply that Christ takes interest in one who takes no interest in him and who likely rejected him, but Christ takes interest in one, in Levi here, who is preoccupied. In verse 27, we read, after these things, he that is Christ went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. Why would Levi be willing to lose any membership in the synagogue? Why would he be willing to be despised by the community? Why would he be willing to betray his community, betray his family? By going into a line of work that's so greedy, corrupt, selfish, and deceptive. Well, it's very simple, isn't it? He loved the things of this world. He loved money. He loved wealth. He loved possessions. He loved his career. He was going up the ladder of his career here as a tax collector. As you could appreciate, whenever you understand the makeup of the tax collecting world, it was dog-eat-dog. Whenever the room went put out, as it were, the offer, who wants to get the money for us, wealthy individuals would have fought against each other to get the role and to get the contract. And then cheap publicans would have fought to get the attention then of the wealthy individuals. And then publicans would have fought to get the attention of the cheap publicans. It was a dog-eat-dog world. They were to rise up the ladder to get the attention, to get the busy parts of the streets. And here we have Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, sitting in a busy city. Capernaum was a busy place, It was a wealthy fishing industry, likely very lucrative for a tax collector. And yet Levi is the one that's sitting there. He's got the attention of his chief publican. He's got that place of prominence there in the busy street. And he's got to that position because he's putting money and wealth and possessions in the things of this world before anybody and anything else. And Christ takes interest here in one who's preoccupied and also one who's stubborn. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, we find that the pleasures of sin last only for a season. In Luke's Gospel chapter 16, you and I, by God's grace, will eventually find out about a man known as the prodigal son who went into the things of this world and preoccupied himself with the lusts of this world, but he found they were all empty. And I would have no doubt this evening that Levi, in getting the position he's got to so far, in loving money and seeking after money and his wealth and possessions and putting that first before his family and before his friends, before his community, and before, above all, God's, he has found that a bigger house does not bring him happiness. He has found that more money does not bring him happiness. He's found that better position does not bring him happiness. Greater influence does not bring him happiness. I have no doubt tonight that Levi is one who is miserable in his sin, unsatisfied in his sin, like every sinner is. And perhaps you're here this evening and you're just like Levi. You're one who's preoccupied. And that's why you take no interest in Christ tonight. You're too preoccupied with what pleasures and lusts you can get on this earth. Whether it be money or not, whether it be possessions or not, or work or career or not, but something on this earth is taking your focus. And the reality is tonight you're miserable. You know it's not bringing you satisfaction. You know it's not fulfilling you. You know that sin and all of its pleasures are just a facade. They're empty inside. And yet you just keep seeking after it, trying again and again to fill the void. And yet it just brings emptiness after emptiness. I want you to take comfort tonight. Levi was a man who took no interest in Christ, very likely has rejected Christ. And in his stubbornness, even though he knows what he's seeking after is empty when it comes to sin, yet he still is preoccupied with it. He's in bondage to it. You take comfort tonight, dear ungodly one. Because Jesus Christ has all power to transform you just as he transformed Levi. Jesus Christ, the one who made the mountains and made the stars and made the galaxy and the universe. Christ is the one who has all power to do these things, and he's also got all power tonight to transform you and to convert you. To free you tonight from that bondage which holds you into your sin. Christ has power tonight to convert you, to transform you and to change you. I wonder, will you go to him? And will you flee to him for this salvation and this transformation? It's washing away of all your sins and making you a new creature in him. You may have come into this meeting taking no interest in Christ, but Christ is taking an interest in you. You may not be this very moment seeking Christ, but he is the one who's seeking you. This is the wonderful Savior we have, a Savior who is gracious. A Savior who is loving. A Savior who is good. Dear unbeliever, do you see him tonight? Do you rejoice in him? And dear believer, do you rejoice in the Savior who has saved you? And dear believer, do you rejoice in the one who has come not merely for you, and he's come not merely for others in this meeting tonight, but has come even to seek and to save sinners who are your loved ones. You may ask the question, why was Christ interested in this man? Well, I think it's interesting that this particular passage of Levi is sandwiched. It's sandwiched between two other passages that have one common theme. The passage just before that we looked at last week was of friends bringing their loved one to Christ. Immediately after the conversion of Matthew, we're going to read about a great feast being held that loved ones and friends are brought to Christ. Is it not very possible that Levi had someone who was praying for him to Christ? Some loved one who was seeking that he would be brought to Christ. And that's why Christ shows so much interest in him. Dear believer this evening, don't give up praying for your lost loved one. Don't give up praying that Christ will come along and change them and show interest in them. In verse 32 of this chapter, Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners. And you could take your loved one tonight and you could simply plead, Lord, my loved one is a sinner and you have come to call sinners to repentance. Christ's calling of Levi is wonderful this evening. It's filled with wonder. Make us stand back in awe. Christ taking interest in such a one as Levi. But also, secondly tonight, Christ's calling of Levi is not only wonderful, but Christ's calling of Levi is simple. You look at me, please, at verse 27 and 28. We read, after these things, he, this Christ, went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, that is Levi, left all, rose up and followed Christ. Christ changed this man. No interest in Christ, now he's got interest in Christ. No time for Christ, now he's got time for Christ. Christ transformed this man. He made him a new creature, but how did Christ do it? Did Christ sit down and say, look, we need to give you 1,000 lectures on Christianity? You know, I need to sit down and give you 10 reasons regarding the existence of God. I need to go through the teleological argument, the ontological argument, and the cosmological argument. Did Christ need to sit down and say, I need to entertain you for a while? No. Christ came along and spoke to the man and said, follow me. Christ commanded him, follow me. It was as simple as that. The word for follow in the Greek is the verb akoluthio, which doesn't mean follow me in the sense of come behind me, but follow me in the sense of come beside me. Come alongside me. Walk with me. Where I go, you go. Trust me. Surrender. Submit yourself to me. Keep your eyes on me. Where I go, you go. Follow me. Don't follow anybody else. Follow me in all things, whether you understand it or not. Follow me at all times. Whether I lead you up a mountain, whether I lead you down a valley, just you follow me. Just you trust me. Just you love me. Just you submit to me. Just you follow me. No. Christ's calling of Levi is simple. Follow me. And he arose. He left all. And he followed Christ. Your child of God this evening, may I just say to you that while you have a loved one and while I have loved ones who are not saved, while you and I are powerless to save our loved ones, yet we are not hopeless. You and I cannot save a sinner. You and I cannot change a sinner. But Christ can. Christ simply just has to speak the word. The word that spoke this world into existence. This word that simply upholds the entirety of the universe. This powerful word simply just needs to be spoken by Christ to a sinner. To one of our loved ones. Not entertainment. Just the word. And instantly, in the twinkling of an eye, Christ can convert someone who has no interest. And he's rejected Christ. Can transform them into one who loves Christ and will leave all to follow Christ. child of God, you and I are powerless to save our loved ones, but we are not hopeless. Do not give up looking to Christ to save. Dear child of God, while you and I should have hoped tonight that Christ can save our loved ones, you and I should also be focused tonight. We should pray for Christ to bless His Word to your loved ones. As believers, as a church, and I should pray for Christ to bless His Word in the Lord's Day. It wasn't entertainment here, it wasn't music here, it wasn't other things here, it wasn't philosophy, it wasn't logical reasoning. While it all made sense, yet it was simply the power of Christ's Word that changed this man. I wonder, even in the past week, how much time have you taken to pray that God will speak with power through His Word tonight? If we want to see this area change, if we want to see those who attend the meetings changed, how often have we spent praying, Lord, may Your Word go forth with power? If we want to see children or children's meeting changed, we want to see those in the Sunday school changed, we want to see our families changed, how much time have we been praying, Lord, let Your Word go forth with power? Want to see this area changed. How long do we spend praying for the open air every month, Lord? Speak with power through Your words. Let us keep focused tonight. The power is in the Word of Christ. But notice also tonight, not merely that Christ's calling is filled with wonder, it's wonderful. But Christ's calling of Levi is not only simple, but Christ's calling of Levi is powerful. In verse 27, we read that Christ, speaking to this man Levi, He said, "Follow Me." And in verse 28, we read that Levi left all, rose up, followed Him. Imagine the context. Levi perhaps has been working, I don't know, for several hours. He's been gathering in money. He's got money sitting there. He's got his desk. He's got his seat. He's got his possessions. He's got things that are sitting there. He's got his list of things he wants to do, people he wants to meet, catch the eye of. Rises up and he leaves it all. And he follows Christ. Christ's calling is powerful. As you and I will find later on in the book of Corinthians, Levi became a new creature. Old things here are passed away and all things become new. Levi is given a new mind by the calling of Christ. Before he was sitting, no interest in Christ. Now he's rising. He's now rising to go after Christ. He's interested in Christ. He sees something you see now in Christ. His mind's been changed. His heart has been changed. Because we read in verse 28 that he who loved his money, he forsook family, betrayed family and friends and his community and his nation for greed. Now he leaves it all. He leaves it all. His heart's been changed. The reality of that will be seen all the more clearly as you would read through Matthew's gospel. Now, this gospel record that Levi would go on to write. Because in that gospel record, Levi, he does one thing. He exalts Christ. He writes 28 chapters, and yet he only mentions himself twice, and on both occasions, he refers to himself as a dirty, deceptive, corrupt, twisted publican. But yet, the rest of the gospel record, it's all about Christ. You see, before Levi, his life was all about himself, not his family, not his friends. He was more important than anybody else. But now, the one who's all important is Christ. Levi will even go on to use his money here, use his house and his possessions and use his relationships, not to further himself, but simply seek to get them to Christ. By holding a great feast and paying for it and getting them all along. His heart has changed. It's all about Christ. Also, Levi's will has changed. His mind has changed. His heart has changed, but his will has changed because he read that he rose up and followed Christ. Remember the verb akoluthio? He followed alongside Christ. He would follow Christ wherever Christ went. We read that he would follow Christ in difficult times and in dangerous times, in disappointing times, he would follow Christ. He wasn't perfect. Whenever he made a mistake, he rose up and he went on after following Christ. He would listen to Christ. He would trust Christ. He would submit to Christ. He would walk with Christ. Dear believer, this is the power that Christ is able to give to you and I to walk with Christ. But dear unbeliever tonight, the focus is on you. This is the power that Christ is able to give you. You who are in your bondage to sin, you who say, I could never walk with Christ. I don't have the mind. I don't see anything beautiful in Christ. I haven't got the heart. I haven't got the will to walk with Christ. Well, look at the power of Christ through His Word. He changed and transformed Levi. He changed his mind. He changed his heart. He changed his will. Because Levi left it all. He rose up and he followed Christ. And he kept following Christ. And Christ can do the same with you tonight. The hymn writer asked the question, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Well then come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Christ's calling, lastly this evening, is not merely wonderful and simple and powerful, but Christ's calling of Levi is purposeful. You look at me there at verse 29 and 30, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him, with them, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Levi was one who mixed with publicans, other tax collectors, and mixed with those who were deemed sinners, the harlots, the despised of society. And yet Christ, in saving Levi, uses Levi as an instrument through which others will be brought before Christ. He uses Levi in the short term to use his money, his relationship, his own house, simply to invite people, to bring people in, to pay for this food and this feast, to bring the people in. For what reason? Not for the food, but to see Christ, to hear of this one who's transformed him. You see, salvation's purposeful. It's that you will reveal Christ to others, that you will simply be an instrument to bring others before Christ. Christ would use Levi in the short term. Christ would use Levi in the long term. Because not merely would Levi become an apostle, a disciple of Christ, he would also write the gospel record, one of only four people who would do such. And I haven't got time to go into it tonight, but you and I could look at the gospel of Matthew and how it exalts the might of Christ. Matthew again and again and again, from chapters 8 through to 10 of his gospel record, will speak about how Christ has power over every sickness. He wants people to know that. Christ has power over all spheres, the natural realm, the spiritual realm, the moral realm, and that Christ alone has all such power. He will speak about not merely the might of Christ, but also the ministry of Christ. In his gospel record, he will speak about how Christ, he met people with all different types of needs, hunger, misunderstanding and blindness and a demon and even in the midst of a storm. Christ will help people in all places and from all backgrounds, those that are rich, like the rich young ruler, and the poor and the beggars. Christ will help people of all ages, a demon-possessed boy, children, even little children to come unto Christ, as well as those that are older. Matthew wants all people to know that Christ is the Savior. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, would actually say that of all the gospel records, Matthew is the most evangelical. He writes to the Jewish people, and get this, the Jewish people that despised him for who he was as a tax collector. Levi here writes a gospel record to them and goes back to the Old Testament 100 times to show them that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Christ's calling of Levi, can you not say tonight it's filled with wonder? Because while Levi had no interest in Christ, Christ had an interest in him. While he likely had rejected Christ, Christ had not rejected him. He sought him. And Christ is seeking the lost tonight. You may have come in here no interest in Christ, but Christ has an interest in you. You may say, I couldn't walk, leave all and follow Christ. do whatever Christ asked me to do, and follow him wherever he asked me to go and walk with him. I couldn't do that. Well, Christ's calling is not merely simple, but Christ's calling is powerful. He can change you and transform you. And every one of us this evening, let us remember Christ's calling is purposeful. That you and I then may go and tell others what Christ has done for us. Little prayer I was taught to pray many years ago by our brother Noel Stevenson. Lord, lead me to some soul today. And Lord, teach me. Teach me what to say. Do we desire to be a witness for Christ? That's why he saved us. That we may be an instrument through which others will hear of Christ and be brought to him. Let us rejoice tonight in who Christ is, a loving, gracious, powerful Savior. Let us love him. Let us follow him. Let us live for him who gave all for us. Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask thee that thou wouldst be pleased to take thy word this evening. While it has been sown in the weakness of man, I pray, Father, thou wouldst take it and write it upon hearts. Father, may not a single person here that has the ability to mentally understand, may not a single one go out here. Lord, surely this is thy will, that not a single one goes out here without having that view of Christ, the one who is wonderful, that he would take interest in us tonight, everyone, believer and unbeliever, in everyone, that he would seek us. Lord, that his power is there to change us, and that his purpose is there to use us. What a privilege to be used by the Almighty God for his glory. Save the lost. Use us who are thy people. Use us for thy glory. That even others, through this work and witness, and Lord, even through other witnesses as well, that people will be brought before Christ and be transformed through him. For his glory we ask it, and his glory alone. Amen.